Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. It's lovely to have you here this morning. You may have noticed a big banner on the way in all about street pastors. A lot of different churches are marking this as Street Pastor Sunday today. And we'll be hearing more about that later on. Right here in NBC, Street Pastor Sunday also means it's Bake Off Sunday. Sad thing is, you'll probably get there before I do at the end, but do go and have a look at the cakes, won't you, and make some donations too. Now, this afternoon, it is open house for families with younger children. That starts at 4:15, and I'm told that truffles will be made. So if you haven't been before, that might just be what it needs to coax you to come down. I cannot tell you how much fun open house is. It really is a highlight in each month's calendar. Do come down if you possibly can and join us this afternoon. And the other thing to mention is that next Sunday is Harvest Sunday, and we will be receiving gifts for the local food bank. And you should have had a list sent out to you this week of what those need to be. So that's next Sunday. Do please bring those in with you. Listen to these wonderful words from the end of Romans chapter 8. In all these things, says Paul, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Friends, let's pray together. Father, thank you for that promise and all it holds for us. Whatever this last week has held, whatever next week holds over us, right now, in your presence, Father, we lean towards you and we long to feel your touch upon our lives and hearts. We want to drink again of your hope. We want to reach out and take hold of your promises again. Father, we want to know that we're in the presence of a living God this morning. So come by your Spirit, please. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing together, Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Blessed be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord is. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, they are saved. Let's finish. Let's sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. All hail the Lamb, enthroned on high. His praise shall be our battle cry. He reigns victorious, forever glorious. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord. All hail the Lamb.
Please sit down. Now, I couldn't quite decide which box to bring this morning because there's a little bit of a story to tell and there's a bit of a science experiment to do, so I couldn't quite decide which. But as my story box is falling apart, I thought I'd bring my science box. So come and have a look, and there's some bits of story in here and there's a bit of an experiment to do. And... No, there isn't a sweet box, I'm afraid. Not unless I haven't found it. Now, let's have a look. Okay. Andy, could you look after that for me for a minute? You hold my whale, because we're going to come back to the whale. So, I've got a thing here that says find six grown-ups. Can you go and find six mums and dads to join us before we do anything else? And bring them back here. Excellent. That's what we like to see. Okay. Okay, now let's get ourselves a bit organised, shall we? Because this is the sciencey bit. I wonder what we're going to do with that. Okay, Tom, can you stand up here on this step? And Keith, could you take Samuel down to the back there? Excellent. And let me see. Mikey, you come over here. Now, I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to take this all the way down to your dad and Samuel down here. Now, I only know this works from a ladybird science book, and I never tried it. So I probably shouldn't try it now, live in front of the church, really, should I? But, hey, too late. You have to come a bit further back. We need to get this nice and tight. Okay, how are we doing? Oh, hang on. We've got it caught. We don't want that, or we'll lose the signal. Oh, we've got it caught in your chair, Rosemary. There we are. Excellent. There we are. Brilliant. Okay, don't do anything with it yet. Now, can we get a long line of people down this side, please? So all of you, can you line yourselves up? Can we get one grown up at the end? And one grown up at this end. So let's all line up close to each other if we can. Do you want to come and join this line for me? Now, what we're going to try and do in a moment, we're going to try and pass a message down the two sides of the church. This one we're going to try and pass with our string telephone. Like I say, I have no idea if it works. This one, we'll try it by whispering it to each other and see what we've got at the end of the line, shall we? So let me see what the messages are. Okay. So I'm going to give this to Tom. And you need to give that to Micah. And he'll pass it down there. Now, I'll give this to Luke. And you'll need to whisper this to the first person. And then they'll whisper it all the way down the line. Okay. Okay, right, go, both sides. Samuel, what message did you get? Nothing. I'll try again. Anyway, you carry on down this side. Did you get it in your ear? What did you get? My dog is green. Oh, I've got a feeling you didn't get that through the telephone, did you? But anyway, let's see how this one's going. We're almost at the end of the line here. We're going to find out what the message is. Sorry? No, actually, the message was number 5. That didn't work so well, did it? Okay, we'll try it one more time, I think. We'll give this to you. Okay, and here's one for you, this side, to send that down the telephone. Number 1. Oh, it's not working so well, this. This is not high-tech telephony, I feel. Not going so well. How are we doing down here? Okay. When this line gets to the end, I'm going to ask you, Samuel, what you got. Number 1. Number 1. What was the message you got? Sorry? No, it's actually my cat is pink and it's turned into my daddy's. And this one is number... Oh, but I don't think it works without... Okay, put those things down. Come back up here. Except for... Let me see. Cliff, can you go to the back, please? Now, who's got a big voice amongst the grown-ups here, I wonder? yes. You've just been volunteered, I think, as a big voice. Right, now, in a moment... You're going to shout a number to Cliff at the back there. Right. But just to make it hard, I want you to think, all of you, think of a number, okay? When I count to 3, all shout it at once, which is when Sue's going to shout hers. And we'll see if it gets through to Cliff at the back there. I rather have my doubts. Have you got a number in your heads? When I count to 3, shout it out, and you shout your one out and see if Cliff hears it, all right? 7! 62. Oh, well done, Sue. Brilliant. Come and sit down for a minute. Can I have my way all back? Right. Come and sit down again. I'll tell you the story as well. You see, it's not always easy to get a message through, is it? You know, it kind of worked a little bit on that side, but only by cheating. And it didn't really work at all on this side. It's not always easy to get a message through. Sometimes we feel like God just can't hear us. Now, you probably know the story of somebody who ended up in a whale. Jonah. Now listen, Jonah, you remember it. Now, listen, Jonah had made a mess of everything. He'd gone in the wrong direction, he'd done the wrong thing, he'd told lies, he'd run away, and it all got worse and worse and worse. First of all, he was on a ship going to the wrong place. Then there was a storm on the ship. Then they threw him over the side of the ship. And then he got swallowed by a whale. And then he went all the way down to the bottom of the whale's tummy. And then the whale went all the way down to the bottom of the sea. But do you know what? When Jonah spoke to God, do you think he could hear him?
No.
He could. Much better than your messages. He could hear him wherever you are. And whatever has gone wrong, God can always, always hear you. So if you choose to worship him or say thank you to him, even when things are in a mess, I promise you it'll work much better than my telephone and he'll always, always hear you. Brilliant. Go sit down. We're going to learn a new song. Fabulous. Let's put that in there. Now, this might affect the older ones more than the younger ones, I suspect. Who remembers the Flintstones? This song is to the tune of the Flintstones. God's love is the best love. You don't have to shout yabba dabba doo at the end, though if you feel inclined, that's fine. Let's stand up and sing it together.
We have actions as well, which I wasn't aware of before the service, but I am now. So follow along if you can. God's love is the best love that the world has ever known. Deeper than the ocean, it's a love that only God has shown. Higher than the rockets out in space, wider than the total human race, God's love is the best love that the world has ever, ever, could ever, ever, will ever, ever know. God's love is the best love that the world has ever, ever known. Deeper than the ocean, it's a love that only God has shown. Higher than the rockets out in space, wider than the total human race, God's love is the best love that the world has ever, ever, could ever, ever, will ever, ever know.
Let's go one more time. God's love.
God's love is the best love that the world has ever, ever known. Deeper than the ocean, it's a love that only God has shown. Higher than the rockets out in space, wider than the total human race, God's love is the best love that the world has ever, ever, could ever, ever, will ever.
Brilliant. Well done. Do please sit down. Those who are going out to their groups, perhaps you'd like to make your way there now. Yeah, it's so important to have different ages worshipping together in church, and one of the reasons is that the smaller people who've just gone out look at the rest of you to prove whether what I've just said is true. They will look at you, whom they regard as being much older and sometimes wiser, to see whether you mean it. To see whether you think you can be in a mess and still call out to God and he'll still hear you. To see whether you believe that the message doesn't get mangled along the way somewhere and God still hears it. They will look to you to see how true those things are in the lived life of faith. That's the foundation on which churches like this and others are built. The shared witness of faith. Let's stand together and sing How Firm a Foundation.
Oh,
Father, for your unshakable faithfulness, for your unchanging goodness, for your constant presence as a guiding light, we thank you. And now we offer these gifts to you, that you might bless them in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you please sit down? Apart from Debbie, come and join me, Debbie. So, street pastor. What's a street pastor? What do they actually do?
They show God's love on the street. And that entails looking after people who have perhaps had too much to drink, or perhaps are lonely, sad, happy, celebrating. There are a million reasons that we can go out there for.
Now, unless you happened upon it going down that corridor, you wouldn't necessarily know that this church is involved. How much are we involved as Newbury Baptist?
Newbury Baptist hosts the venue each Saturday night, so they supply our venue, and visiting leaders from other churches, so they come in, the police come in. If we have prayer pastors, and I'll come on to that later, then the prayer pastors stay here all evening and pray for us, give us refreshments in the intermission part, and they are indebted, all the churches are indebted to us for being able to host that.
Okay. Now, my cards on the table, my previous experience with street pastors is in Kingston, with 25,000 people coming in every weekend to use the clubs. Do we really need them in a nice place like Newbury?
Well, Newbury is a nice place, that's very true. And we certainly haven't come across much aggression, no aggression to us. But there are... Whether you've got a small village or a town of 25,000, there are people who fit all of those categories, and it's just looking after them. We also minister to the police and the door staff and the kebab vans and everybody else as well.
So you're not idle.
It's busy. No way, yeah. No way.
What's in your bag of tricks, Debbie? Shall I hold the microphone for you so you
Thank
can...
You. So this is what we take out each night. We always have flip-flops, okay? And I was on shift last night, and we gave out four pairs of flip-flops. We have a first aid kit. And in there, gloves, various things. We have a sharps box as well, should we need it. We have... water, which again we always need, and I think last night we gave out six bottles. We have a dustpan and brush, and again you think, oh, what do they need a dustpan and brush? Because we are ministering to partygoers and people going to the clubs, and certainly we swept up one broken bottle last night. We also have lollipops and love hearts and mauams. We have a space blanket which we use for when we've met people who are on the floor and really, really very unwell, and quite often we'll use those before the ambulance gets to them. We have cereal bars, which we will give to the homeless. I bet there's not one in here. Oh, yes. No, there isn't. There's a torch for going down. I have been down every alleyway in Newbury now because it's certainly a different way to see the town. A lighter, and that is not because we are encouraging smoking, but there are people who want a way to engage with us, and having a lighter is another way.
Okay. Yeah, your enthusiasm's obvious for everyone to see. Do you want to take that again?
Thank you.
What's the best thing about doing it?
I think the best thing is last night we had lots and lots of accolades and they're all for God. We had lots of people say, "Oh, you are the best thing. You saved my life when I couldn't walk and my shoes were too high." And lots of that last night. And even if they haven't heard of us, by the time they've had a conversation, they think it's brilliant.
Okay, let's flip the coin up. What's the hardest thing?
The hardest thing are people in despair. And you can cope with the people who are drunk, and I've held back many long hair while they're being sick. And but the people who are really in despair, they are the hardest. They fervently have our prayers, just sometimes we're the only people that they've spoken to that day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, so some people to whom a lot of what you've said is new may be sitting there thinking, I quite fancy that, I could get involved with that. To what extent can people get involved, whether it's praying or being on the streets or...
We are on a recruitment drive, and if you are interested in getting involved, then you can speak to me after the service. We desperately need prayer pastors, and prayer pastors, as I said, are people who stay behind here. The police will often drop in for breaks and to pray. We phone back regularly to people who need prayer, and while we're moving on to the next event, we phoned back and they're still being prayed for. As a street pastor, obviously, there's a lot of training, but it is very rewarding. It's only 12 times a year, and you get to go out and see Newbury in a different light.
All the alleyways, you can go and see the alleyways with the torch. So people could get involved at kind of different levels. But you mentioned some other response pastor. What's that?
Okay. Response pastors are street pastors.
Shall I hold that for
you? Thank you. Our street pastors, and it's a new initiative, and we've got four here at NBC with more being trained. We've got some training next month. And response pastors go out to disasters that happen over the country. I suspect they will be deployed into other parts as well. But for instance, the Grenfell Tower response pastors were called. We were called to Manchester. We were called to the market. And so that's three times in this year that we've been called out to various functions.
So that would be out of area. You'd be called to go elsewhere.
Okay. So at the moment it's a national database, but we're looking at setting up a Thames Valley one, including all the other initiatives. So we've got Andover and Basingstoke and Wantage, Oxford, Abingdon. And so we're looking to set up one so that if there were anything to happen, then we would be there.
Okay. Debbie, just one last thing. If you had to pick, and I know there's dozens of them, but if you had to pick one prayer need right now, what's the key thing?
Prayer pastors. Okay. We are desperate.
Okay. So that's a real gap.
We have two teams of prayer pastors for five teams, and it's... to come back without having prayer pastors here, to sit and talk about some of the events that we have witnessed, it is quite hard. We can talk amongst ourselves, but the people who haven't seen it ask the most pertinent questions that are in your head, but you don't actually, you can't actually voice them. So we are desperately needing prayer pastors.
All right, thank you. Well, Jenny's going to come and pray for street pastors now. Thank you, Debbie.
Lord, today we praise you for the Street Pastors organisation, for the inspiration of this work in the UK, for the light that it brings to over 300 towns and cities, and for the 12,000 volunteers involved in this work, and for every single opportunity that it gives to show your love to those who do not yet know you. Lord, we thank you for everyone that you have called to serve in this way. whether it is on the streets as a street pastor, patrolling and listening, caring and helping those that they meet on the way, or whether it is as a prayer pastor, back at base, praying throughout the night for the safety of the street pastors and for the people and situations that they encounter, or whether it is in an administrative or fundraising capacity, taking care of everything that makes this work possible. We thank and praise you, Lord, for these people, and we ask that you continue to bless and encourage and grow their faith. We pray for the ongoing success and expansion of this ministry. We ask that you continue to call people to serve, and we pray that you promote the funding which allows this work to continue in towns and cities across the UK. Lord, would you inspire people to have a heart for this ministry, to reach out to their communities and share your love in a practical way. Finally, Lord, we pray for every single person who comes into contact with the work of the street pastors. We pray that you would use those opportunities to sow seeds, that the street pastors would be your hands and feet on this earth, and that they would demonstrate the amazing love and compassion of Jesus for his flock, and that through the street pastors, many would be shown the way to the Father. Lord, we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Okay, let's stand together, shall we? We're going to sing "Let Everything That Has Breath." Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening, praise you when I'm young and when I'm old. Praise you when I'm laughing, praise you when I'm grieving, praise you every season of the soul. Could see how much your world, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise. Calling all the nations to your praise. If they could see how much your worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely they would never cease to praise. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Do please sit down as Pat comes to read to us. Thank you.
The reading this morning comes from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 11 to 19, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head. When his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instruments. Can we just pray? Lord, be with Richard now as he gives us his word, and be with him especially close at this time. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pat. Talking to a group on Tuesday evening, and I said, never forget the best kept secret in the Bible is the contents page. If you can't find Habakkuk, use the contents page, for goodness sake, in order to help you find it. Now listen, there's going to be a lot of conversations in this church over the next little while about buildings. I had two meetings about them on Friday. There's going to be a lot of conversations going on. So can I just abuse my position in the pulpit here for a moment, and live, whilst no one else can contradict me, can I put in a little plea for the buildings process? Please. Can I ask that whenever we come up with some kind of design, can we please make the doors of this worship space wide enough so that I can get an elephant in the room with me when I come here to worship? Because I get a little bit sick of preachers who tell me that my elephant is a mouse and that I ought to be thankful to God for it anyway. You know, and I hear preachers saying things like, you need to thank God that you got sick. You need to thank God that you lost your house. You need to thank God that you lost your job. You need to thank God that these awful things have happened to you. That is faith, is it? Is it really? I'm not at all sure that it is. It might be optimism. It might be naivety. But it's not faith. Faith does not maintain an awareness of God by ignoring the circumstances. Faith chooses to see God and to worship him despite the circumstances. You know, last week I talked about how nature can help us as a lens to focus on what worship is all about. And that was all well and good here in Newbury, wasn't it? But what about in Barbuda? What about in Saint Martin? What about in Antigua this week? Are those people going to look at the wreckage all around about them and say, oh, well, thank God that happens? Surely not. You know, by this stage, Habakkuk has already been through some really tough moments. In the first chapter, he raises the issue of what is going to happen to God's people and will they be punished? And God comes back and says, oh yes, they'll be punished. Not only that, but they'll be punished by pagan Babylon. Chapter 1 and verse 6, I'm raising up the Babylonians and they're going to do my job for me. That was a tough thing to hear. And then he made a plea that God's people should not be wiped out. And God comes back and he says, well, the sinners will be, actually. Chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. Woe to him who builds his house by unjust gain. You've plotted the ruin of many, and now you'll forfeit your life. He's had a vision. So he's had this horrible sense that the Babylonians are coming. He's hoped that God's going to say it's all going to be all right, really, and he hasn't. And then he has this vision of God that is so powerful, it turns his legs to jelly and he nearly faints. Chapter 3 and verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. That is the moment when, far from what I said last week about worship being natural, it is unnatural. When you're in those circumstances And you keep getting back the wrong answers, and God seems terrifying rather than reassuring. That is the moment when worship is an unnatural act. It's the moment when worship runs counter to our natural inclination. And if we're going to learn how to do it, we need to look the circumstances in the eye. It's kind of back to what we were talking about when we were sharing a series about prayer together, about being honest. But it's not just that. Very often, the prayers that we talked about in the prayer series that are honest are prayed individually and away from an act of worship. But this is about bringing the elephants into the room when we worship. This is about specifically and intentionally introducing into worship those elements of the world which trouble us. You know, there's a story in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12, and the word goes around that God's people are under threat. The word goes around that the biggest cavalry that's ever been assembled across the Middle East is heading their way, and a call goes out summoning people, young and old, women and children, to come together and to worship. And they stand there with the sound of approaching hoofbeats, and they look to God and they say, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." You see, it's not leaving the bad stuff outside. It's bringing it in with us when we worship. Habakkuk's already been through the ringer by this point. He's already been reduced almost to the point of cracking up entirely. And now he lays it down even more clearly. Verse 17, if you've got it open in front of you. "Though there are no figs on the trees," that was a luxury thing. "Though there are no grapes," that was maybe a luxury thing too. "Though there are no olives," their community depended upon olives as a staple diet. "Though there are no cereals," that was a staple diet as well. "Though there are no sheep and no cattle," in other words, no provision for now or the future. "Though I look around and see no figs, no grapes, no cereal, no cattle, no sheep, yet will I worship you." It's an uncomfortable look at life around about him. Standing in the presence of God, as we have been doing, worshiping together, stands there and he looks around. He gives what Americans would call a sit rep. And it sucks. He said, "I look around and I see mess all around about me." Since we cannot worship God without an awareness of what is going on in the rest of life, we have to learn to bring that awareness into worship with us, which is why I want the elephant door. We have to find a way of bringing those things into the act of worship along with us and not leaving them outside. Some of you will be wondering what the photo on the screen is all about. I will never, ever forget Sunday the 23rd of November 1996. The church I was in at the time was Purley Baptist Church, and we'd had a prayer meeting in the vestry just before the service, and we were just filing out of the vestry, and Malcolm, who was head of SIM for UK and North Europe, tugged at my arm. He said, "Richard, can I just tell you, this terrible thing has happened. An Ethiopia Airlines jet that had taken off from Addis had been hijacked, and it crashed into the ocean off to the Comoros Islands." And he said, "There are a number of Christian workers on the plane. One of them, Andy Meakin, you might have heard the story afterwards, he led people to Christ as the plane was crashing." And then I walked out and I started the service. And afterwards, Malcolm came up to me and he said, "Oh, Richard, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that to you. I shouldn't have distracted you." Although he had more experience in his little fingertip than I did in the whole of me, I said to him, "Don't ever apologize to me again for doing something like that. Don't ever apologize, because if we cannot worship God except by ignoring the bad stuff that's going on, then I don't want to do it. If we cannot worship God except by pushing to one side the bad stuff that is happening, then worship is not worthy of the name. If we can only concentrate on God by creating a hermetic seal between the world and the church, then something is very, very wrong. We need to look those circumstances in the eye, whatever they are and however bad they are, and then choose to worship God." You know, those verses with which I began the service, where it talks about the things that might separate us from him. But then we choose to say, in all of this, we are more than conquerors. Interesting, you know, if you turn to the first page of Habakkuk, presumably in your Bible, it just says Habakkuk. In the Hebrew Bible, it says The Burden of Habakkuk. That's the name of this book. The Burden of Habakkuk. Unnatural worship means hauling that burden into the presence of God with us, dragging it into church with us so that it becomes part of our worship and not a distraction from it. Unnatural worship means looking the circumstances in the eye, but it means looking God in the eye as well. You probably know that there's quite a familiar picture in the Old Testament of the prophet as a watchman. It's quite a common image, you know, where the prophet goes up a watchtower and they're ready perhaps to deliver from the watchtower the verdict of God, or perhaps they've delivered it already and they climb up the watchtower to look out and to see the devastation that will come as a result. We find that picture in Ezekiel, we find it in Isaiah, but there's something very different going on in this book. See, in chapter 1, Habakkuk makes a complaint to God. What are you doing? And God comes back and explains. And then he goes and he does it again. He makes another complaint to God. But then he climbs up the tower to look God in the eye. I will stand, chapter 2 and verse 1, at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me. You know, he's been brutally honest about the circumstances. He looked the circumstances in the eye. And now he says, you know what? I'm going to look God in the eye. And I'm going to ask him what he's up to. The picture, by the way, was from Miami. Storm Irma was on the way into Miami. And these two parrots were on a 22nd floor window, hoping to be let in, which, of course, wasn't going to happen because they couldn't open the window. Habakkuk goes a lot further than 22 stories. Habakkuk, remember, has already seen how powerful God is. You know, all that stuff Pat was reading out about, you know, the sea churning up and mountains quaking and the landscape wobbling and all that power of God. He knows all of that. He knows that to look God in the eye is no small thing, but he climbs up the tower and does it anyway. He looks at the circumstances, he looks them in the eye and says, this is awful. And then he climbs up the tower and he says, and I want to know what God has to say about it. We need to come into worship, dragging, if necessary, the burdens with us, and then standing there with them by our side. We need to look God in the eye. This is what David is crying out for when he shakes his fist in the Psalms and says, God, what are you doing? This is what Job is looking for when his questions go on and on and on and on. This is what the people in the holy city are doing in Psalm 46, where they're looking around as the storm rages around about them and the foundations tremble, but they're looking God in the eye. This is what the martyrs are looking for when they cry out in the book of Revelation, how long, O God, how long? Unnatural worship means churching the ugly stuff and bringing it in here with us. Unnatural worship means climbing the mental or physical stairs to look God in the eye and to say, look at this stuff. I want to bring it to your attention. I know you know about it, but I want to bring it to your attention. You may have heard me confess before that I came very late to football. I'd never been to a football match till I was 30. Sheltered young lad that I was. We were living in Croydon at the time, so the natural team to support was Crystal Palace. Some of you will have different views on that, I'm sure. I went to this match, and it was Palace versus Arsenal. And the guy that I went with had tickets for the players' lounge, so it was all really quite nice and civilised. Anyway, we're partway through this match, and there was a tackle that, let's just say, didn't go Palace's way. And suddenly this huge guy in front of me erupted from the seat in front of me and shouted, "Oi, ref, are you watching this? Oi, ref, are you watching this? God, are you watching this?" Unnatural worship means looking the circumstances in the eye, and then it means looking God in the eye and say, you know, the most precious thing that I've ever held in my hand in a church was not a Stradivarius violin, though I did hold that. It was a set of communion glasses. It wasn't like these, actually. They were glass ones. And it came from a church in Indonesia. And the church had been burnt to the ground with the worshippers inside it, deliberately. And when they were picking through the rubble afterwards, there was a tray of communion glasses. And the heat of the fire was so intense that they had melted together into a single piece of glass. How could I take such a thing into God's presence without saying, "Are you watching this? God, I want to know what you think about this." We talked at the beginning of this series about what makes, well, we didn't talk about what makes good worship. We talked about what makes true worship. True worship cannot be sequestered away from the world. True worship cannot be timid and afraid to offend God's feelings. Look circumstances in the eye without blinking. Look God in the eye, even though you're not quite sure what he's going to say to you. And when you've done those things, make your choice. And it is a choice where you choose to worship. Verse 18 contains the most important word in the entire passage. Yet. Lists all these things that are going wrong. No crops, no figs, no grapes, no cereal, no cattle, no sheep. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Not because of all those things, like the jolly preacher who tried to persuade me that my elephant is a mouse. Not because of them, but despite them. Having listed them for what they are, having told you what I think of them, yet will I praise God. See, Habakkuk comes into God's presence and he says, I can see this stuff and I know it's bad and it kind of partly obscures my view of you, but I will choose to worship you anyway. And then he goes on in that last verse to reaffirm his belief in the prevailing goodness of God. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet to the, like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. This is worship. And it's unnatural. It's unnatural because it flies in the face of circumstance and it is wonderful. It's the worship of Jonah in the gloom of the belly of the whale, like I was saying to the children, saying, I will worship him. It's the worship of Job with his tattered clothes and his scabby skin, saying, yet in my flesh will I see God. It's the worship of Paul and Silas singing their hearts out at midnight whilst chained to the wall in the middle of the inner cell of a Philippian jail. This is the worship of John in the Spirit on the Lord's day at the start of Revelation, although he's far from home and breaking his back in a penal labor colony. Nobody's kidding themselves. But all of them are turning the beam of their adoration and trust to God. You know, it's like someone lost in the middle of the desert, pointing their sat phone at a satellite which is passing miles and miles out of sight overhead, but knowing that someone will pick up and will speak to them. That's what unnatural worship is all about. If we can learn to do it, then it acts as an anchor in the very toughest of times. And actually, it makes us more rather than less inclined to worship God when the going gets tough. The little castle behind me is one of many built on the Rhine. It's called Rheinpfalz. The odd thing about it is that in the middle of the castle, there is a well that goes down to a water source beneath the level of the river. So it didn't matter if this castle was under siege. It didn't matter if they couldn't get out. They always had a supply of pure drinking water, and therefore they could survive. See, unnatural worship means looking the circumstances in the eye. It means looking God in the eye. And it means making a choice to worship him anyway. Yet, says Habakkuk, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Let's pray together. Father, we have so much to learn. So much to learn about walking in faith and worshipping you anyway. We ask that you'd help us to learn it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing Cornerstone together.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. In the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord our Lord. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone. Sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, the faultless stand before the throne.
Let's sing Christ alone.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. In the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. And Christ alone, cornerstone, we've made strong.
Blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.